on our topic today's angels. And we know the angel is the Greek word for messenger. So that's what angels are messengers. And how do we visualize angels? As angelic, white-robed, winged creatures who serve God in heaven? Or do we also see them as God's messengers, clothed in human form, to help and protect humankind in the time of great need? Are they as present today as in our world, as in the world, as in Bible times? Angels are co-workers with God in the plan of salvation. I do know, I just realised there's a part that I will read later and I haven't got it out. Right, so what I really thought I would do, I thought, angels, you don't talk about them a lot, and yet if you look at scripture, they are everywhere. So I just thought we'd just look at the scriptures where they are and just take a walk through and see the different times. But really, because now we have not just good angels, we have bad angels, unfortunately. We call them fallen angels. I thought we should get that part out of the way, as it were, first, and see why we've got fallen angels and what was the cause of it. So I've got all the scriptures here, and the first one I'm looking at is in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, and it is the actual downfall of Lucifer. So if anyone wishes to find that and read out exactly what's said, that would be wonderful. And then we'll move on to the next one, which will help us discover why we have fallen angels. Has anyone found that? I'd like to. I'm leaving you to do the work, you see. I'm just giving you the. Anyone?
How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroy the nations of the world.
So we classed him as Lucifer at that time, didn't we? So it's Lucifer, son of the morning, wherefore art thou fallen? That's in the old phrase, isn't it? So we know that, well, Lucifer was the covering cherub. Am I wrong in assuming that at the throne of God? And until, what was it, deceit was it that was found in him? Anyway, set up opposition to God. This is what happened. And the only thing was, it wasn't just him. So if we look in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, we'll see something quite dramatic happened in heaven itself. And that's Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon was in battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels.
Right, so we've got the picture there. We've got the downfall of Lucifer. And because of that, there was the war in heaven, of which Satan was cast out. But I believe in one version, I know it says a third of the angels went with him. So, I mean, we think of myriads of angels. So there would probably be a big proportion of angels that actually followed the lead of Lucifer. So the first time we get a look at the what's going on here between heaven and earth, I'd like us to look at Job's faith that was tested. And then we get a picture of what Satan is up to. And I think this is useful to know. It's Job chapter 1 and verses 6 to 12. Now I know most of the book of Job is about how he was tested. But if we just look at this one portion, which is chapter 1 verses 6 to 12. And the words of Satan at that time.
One day the members of the heavenly court came to the presence themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord answered to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence.
That's it. Now we know that Lucifer has now become Satan, and this is he is our accuser. And he even accuses to this time, I know in Revelation it's mentioned, he is the accuser of the brethren. And we know that Job goes through a terrible time, but he still stands the test and he does not neglect his faith in God. But nonetheless, it does give us a very vivid picture, doesn't it, of what Satan is now up to. So all these fallen angels, we need to look at what they're up to. And when we look, I'm looking in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and this is really to do, the first I've found anyway, I could be wrong here, but it's to do with Saul and him consulting with mediums. Because what we see, and I'll read it in what Ellen White has to say about this, is that these fallen angels now are the people who pretend they are our loved ones who have died. And this is the occult, this is the dark side, and this is, I think, where the fallen angels now occupy. And it's pretty awful. But if we can say just that 1 Samuel chapter 28, I think is where Saul consults the medium. Has anyone just found that? And I'll share you what Ellen White has to say on the matter. Is it, does he say anything in particular there, or is it just...
28 what verse?
And it's 1 Samuel chapter 28, so I think it's the beginning of the chapter. If I'm wrong, it's okay. We'll, as long as you... is it? Have I not put the verse down? What did it just say that...
all of the chapter.
It's the whole of the chapter where he consults with a medium, doesn't it? Yeah. The thing is, if we look in Leviticus 19, Leviticus 20, it talks about having nothing to do with fortune telling, medium, psychics. They will be cut out of the community. So we know, and devil possession, it's mentioned in Acts about the fortune teller that Paul drives out, that familiar spirit. And in Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, it's demonic activities and immoral life. So we know that there is this fallen side of the fallen angels. And Ellen White has something to say, which I think is quite useful at this time. It says, nearly all forms of ancient sorcery and witchcraft were founded upon a belief in communion with the dead. Those who practice the arts of necromancy claim to have intercourse with the departed spirits and to obtain through them a knowledge of future events. The familiar spirits were not spirits of the dead, but evil angels, the messengers of Satan. Ancient idolatry, which as we have seen compromises both worship of the dead and pretended communion with them, is declared by the Bible to have been demon worship. And that's from patriarchs and prophets. So we get a very clear picture the fallen angels, and people do go out there and they do consult mediums and the Ouija boards, anything is in touch with the dark side in this world, and it is satanic. So that is the evil angels, as I could say, dealt with, because we have to remember to not have anything to do with anything, fortune telling, anything like that. I mean, in recent weeks, we've heard our family on his Rose Brothers' side have been consulting with spiritism, and even the granddaughters, you know. And you fear in your heart for them, because I don't think they know what they're getting mixed up with. Because I believe that if you mess with these fallen angels, then you are going to reap something from that, because you're giving them access. And I think if you steer completely away from them, have nothing to do with them, and keep your trust in God, then they cannot harm you. But I believe if you get mixed up with them, then they can. And I've had this in my own family many, many years ago, because I had a grandma and an auntie that used to go to the spiritualist church, and they have experienced violence at the hand of spirits, which is literally my auntie threw her out of bed. So just don't go there. So these are the fallen angels. So now we'll look at God's wonderful angels, those that have remained constant to him. But it starts right at the beginning. We can see, I'm just going to mention the scriptures really without you having to find them, and just to keep it in our minds where all these have come from. We see after sin entered in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24 that they were banished from the garden. And I believe there was an angel and a flaming sword to stop them having access to the tree of life. So that started right back at the beginning. And the next time I see an interest in humans is the story of Hagar and Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7, where Hagar runs away because she's being persecuted because of her having Ishmael. And an angel goes and supports her, because I think at the time she has nothing to eat or drink, and I think she's absolutely scared, witless. And the angel appears to her and says, "Don't worry, your little boys, we're going to become a great nation," which we know that to be true. The other time an angel appears is to Abraham and Sarah and the promised son, and that's in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1. And it's interesting that at that time three men approach Abraham. Two of them, I believe, are angels or messengers, but one is the Lord himself. And he explains that they are going to have this promised little boy. Even though Sarah believes she's far too old to conceive, she does have this little boy. So the angels are involved in that message at that time to Abraham and Sarah. And then we move on to Sodom, where the two angels or messengers actually go on to Sodom to help Lot escape from Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's in Genesis 18 verses 22. And in Genesis 19, verses 1. So we know they are quite active amongst humans, and not in an angelic form. They look like men, but they are angels. And I think it's wonderful that they're able to come amongst us and look like humans. And one part I really love is in Jacob's dream. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 to 12, he lays his head down on the stone, and while he's sleeping, he sees the angels of God ascending and descending on almost like a ladder. I think we sing the song, don't we? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. It's this effect that the angels and that go backwards and forwards to and from heaven about God's work. The next one I think is quite good. This is, you remember Balaam and his donkey? Do you remember that's in Numbers 22 verses 21 to 35, where an angel is blocking the way of the donkey. And of course Balaam can't see, but the donkey can. And in the end, the donkey ends up talking. if you remember. So yes, an angel is there, and then we're looking at Isaiah. When he received his commission in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, he has a vision of God, and the seraphim, it touches his lips with burning coal because he feels that he is not suitable to actually be in God's presence, let alone speak on his behalf. So you can see how active angels are on behalf of mankind. Now there is another one then. The angel of the Lord kills the Assyrians, and this is in Isaiah 37 verse 36, where he goes into the camp and kills the Assyrians. So there's angels that actually do this work. We were talking a little bit about death, but at this time the angel of the Lord goes in and kills the Assyrians instead of Jews having to do that. It says that angels involved in his visions, this is in Daniel. Daniel was an amazing person and very, very close to God, as we know. And he had many, many visions. And there was angels involved in those visions, and particularly the time that he was cast into the lion's den. We know that it was an angel that actually shut the mouth of the lions, and that was in Daniel 6, verses 16 to 27. But what's amazing from that story is that King Darius actually proclaims the God of Jacob and Isaac as the one to follow, and he does a wonderful, almost what would you call it, a song or a poem that we need to follow him. We think of what we've just experienced last week. We had our lovely nativity service, and we think of the angels being involved in the message board. We think of Gabriel visiting Zechariah and telling him about Elizabeth conceiving John. And we think of the visit of Gabriel to Mary. And we think of the visit of the angels to Joseph. And the shepherds. And if we think of that, we've already covered it as last week, all those, but the next time we see this is the temptation of Jesus by Satan. And this is when the angels come and care for him after his time in the wilderness, because by the time he'd been tested by Satan for so long, he became incredibly weak because he hadn't eaten or drinking for such a long time. But it says there that chapter 4, verse 11, that the angel came and strengthened and looked after Jesus. And again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels strengthened Jesus as he struggled with what lies ahead. And that was in Luke 22, verses 41 to 44. It must have been so hard for our Lord, because if you remember in Gethsemane, he got his followers and they were asleep. They couldn't keep awake. And he was felt totally alone. And I think at that time he didn't think he could go through with it. And he prayed that God would take away his cup. But he said, not my will but thine, and he settles with it. But it was an angel that had to come and strengthen him in his resolve at that time. So, and then of course we have Jesus' arrest in the garden. And the amazing thing at that time is Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. And he said he could call upon the legions of angels if he wanted to. But he knew that if he did that, the fulfillment of the prophecy of what he was going to do for mankind would not have happened. So he allowed himself. And we have to remember that. He had the power to command angels to support him, but he didn't. And he, praise the Lord, he went through what he did for us. And I'm so grateful for that. Then we have the time of the resurrection. We have that time when the angels were at the tomb and they were directing people as to what they do at that time. Why do you seek him here? He's already risen. So that was a wonderful time as well. Then just quickly looking at a lovely story of Cornelius. he and his household, and then of course they were not Jews, he was a Gentile, and he was convinced of who Jesus was, and he was praying about it, and an angel appears and said, "We have heard you, we have heard your prayer," and Peter is called for to minister to Cornelius, and it's amazing because I think all his household and everyone is converted at that time. So there's an amazing work going on with angels, isn't there? They are God's messengers and they're amazing. And it says, when you look at Revelation, I don't think there's a chapter in Revelation where the angels aren't very busy. They're doing God's work there all through the end time events. The other thing is that I've noticed is that it tells us in Luke 20 verse 36 that angels do not die. They don't have the same mortality as we have. They also do not marry. Matthew 22:30, Jesus says, "You will be as angels in eternity," because we'll be as angels and we won't have the same sort of love as we have now. And just reminding us that angels are only servants in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 14. And if you remember, wherever an angel has been present and someone has gone to bow to them or kneel to them, I said, "Oh, no, no, no. We are only God's messengers. We are not to be worshipped in any way at all. They are spirits sent from God to care for those who will receive salvation," and that is told us in Hebrews as well. So, are angels as relevant today? Would you say they are amongst us? Do they come amongst us? What's your feeling on angels? Do you still think they work amongst us?
Yeah.
Do you think they're not so much, we see them in their angelic form, but in more in human form? Well, I have, as a conclusion, a story to share with you, which is a modern story of definitely angels' involvement. I think some of you may have heard this story before, but it's worth repeating because it's an amazing story. It's out in the newspaper, but it's a good story. It says, "Is this proof angels really do exist?" So, at 10 o'clock on a Friday night in March last year, Jennifer Grosbeck veered off a road in northern Utah as she drove back from dinner at her father's home and hurtled into the ice waters of the Spanish Fork River. What caused her to swerve remains a mystery, but unluckily the front wheel of her car caught the edge of the bridge's concrete wall, causing the vehicle to flip over and crash down into the river. It landed upside down in the shallows with such force that the windscreen was blown out and the roof crushed as if it had been cardboard. Out of sight from the road, the red Dodge hatchback sat in chest-high foaming water for 14 hours until it was spotted by an angler, who reported seeing a hand dangling out of the broken window. Four local police officers arrived first, their sense of urgency captured by the body camera one of them had switched on and whose footage had since been watched thousands of times on the internet. They dashed into the water, so cold that a total of seven police and firemen were later treated for hypothermia, and desperately tried to get inside the crushed vehicle. Then, about 2 minutes into the body camera footage, its microphone picks up the faint sound of an adult voice. An adult voice sounding urgent. It is unintelligible on the footage, but appears to be a plea for help. As Officer Gerard Warren responds, "We're helping, we're coming." Something very odd had just happened. Although the emergency responders weren't to realise it at the time, with a visibly new urgency, the rescuers turned the waterlogged car onto its side and there it goes, and discovered the 25-year-old driver was long dead. But there was a baby in the back seat, Mrs. Grossberg's 18-month-old daughter, Lily, strapped upside down in a child's seat that had kept her out of the water and crucially kept her clothes dry. She had remained there for an age, her face suspended just above the churning river. Unconscious and suffering from hypothermia, Lily was successfully revived at hospital. Her miraculous survival made headlines around the world, but it wasn't until later that the four policemen discussed those frantic minutes and realised there was something very puzzling about them. If the mother had died in the initial impact of the crash and the baby was unconscious, who was the female voice they each swore they had heard coming from the car? One of those policemen, Tyler Bidus, believes he knows the answer. Lily was saved by a heavenly guardian who had comforted her during that bleak, freezing night in the half-submerged car, and then called for help as her life hung in the balance. In a new book, Proof of Angels, Bedos, an officer with 10 years' experience, described how the rescue has solidified a religious faith he previously hadn't really felt. One doesn't have to be sceptical, atheist, to wonder whether someone might be trying to find a religious message here that isn't warranted. Bedos is a Mormon, a religion that believes we all have guardian angels. The Lily Grossberg case nevertheless defies any easy explanation. One impressionable or superstitious officer could decide to believe he had heard a mysterious voice, but four witnesses are harder to dismiss, especially with video footage capturing a muffled voice and the officers responding to it. Quiz later, each of the rescuers concurred in what they had heard. Officer Brian DeWitt said, "We were down on that car and a distant voice saying, 'Help me, help me.'" Jared Warner, the policeman who was in the video, saying they were doing their best, said a few days later, "All four of us can swear that we heard somebody inside the car saying, 'Help.'" I think it pushed us to go harder, a little longer. I don't think that any one of us had intended on flipping the car over that day. And Bedos soon became the spokesperson for the four, as his colleagues grew weary of being labelled as naive or mad. But it appears that more people believe in angels than we might imagine. An online survey in the UK by the Bible Society and ICN reported that 31% believe in angels and 5% insist they have seen or heard one. I think that's an amazing story, because that little baby would have most certainly died, and the mum was already dead. So where did the voice come from? And four officers heard it. And I think that gives us great comfort in this sad world, that we have myriads of angels working God's purposes amongst those who love him. And we should never be afraid, because they're there and they work for God on our behalf. So we can say to people that we do definitely believe in angels. Well, anyway, if we said we didn't, we'd be saying the scriptures were a lie, because the scriptures are full of angels.